The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Bible prophecy reveals major political and religious events soon to occur. Just what should you be watching for in world news? The Middle East is a focus of prophecy, and particularly the city of Jerusalem in the Holy Land. You need to know what's going to happen. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames explores Jerusalem in prophecy. And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. Major prophetic events are going to explode on the world scene. But will you be ready for them? Do you know what they are? Regular viewers of Tomorrow's World have been studying the framework and outline of Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy reveals that major prophetic events will be occurring in the Holy Land. What's going to happen in the Middle East? And how will it affect your life? You need to keep your eyes open to developing news and trends in the Middle East. On today's program, we want to focus on one of the most important cities in the world. The future of the world greatly depends on the future of this city, the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is considered holy to three of the world's major religions. To Jews, Jerusalem was the city of the great prophets and the capital of the kingdom of Israel and Judah under King David and his son King Solomon. The first and second temples were the center of worship until the destruction of the city by the Romans in 70 AD. Jerusalem is also the third most holy city of Islam after the cities of Mecca and Medina. Today, the Islamic Mosque of Omar, or the Dome of the Rock, dominates the Temple Mount. The Arabic term for the holy place is Al-Haram al-Sharif, which means the noble sanctuary. It is believed that the Prophet Muhammad ascended to heaven from that site. Christians revere the city as the place where their Savior was crucified and where he taught in the temple. Christians believe Jesus will return to establish his kingdom with Jerusalem as world capital. Now, what does the Bible say about the future of Jerusalem? Will it be the future capital of the world, perhaps in your lifetime? If you have a Bible, turn to one of the major prophecies regarding the future of the world. We've previously discussed the real millennium under the kingdom of God and the rulership of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The second chapter of Isaiah gives us a wonderful and encouraging view of tomorrow's world. Isaiah 2 and verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. As we saw in a previous program on the principles of prophecy, mountains are a biblical symbol for a kingdom or government. Isaiah stated plainly that the Lord's kingdom would be established in Jerusalem and that all nations shall flow to it. Let's understand, this will not be government in the hands of selfish human beings. Mankind doesn't know the way to lasting peace. Why? Because he simply rejected the rulership and the sovereignty of God over the affairs of man. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 3:15, "Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Thank God he'll establish his kingdom of lasting peace on earth. I hope you're praying for it daily. Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6 and verse 10, "Your kingdom come." Or as it's in the King James Version, "Thy kingdom come." Jerusalem will be the future capital of the world. Let's see another confirmation of that in the book of Zechariah. Listen to this beautiful description of future life in Jerusalem. Zechariah 8 and verse 3. "Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the City of Truth, the Mountain of the Lord of Hosts, the Holy Mountain. Thus says the Lord of Hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. The city of Jerusalem will finally live up to its name, City of Peace, because the Lord, the Eternal, the glorified Messiah, Jesus Christ, will actually dwell there, as he inspired the prophet Zechariah to write. But Jerusalem has experienced a long history of conflict. Back in the 16th century, in 1516, the Ottoman Empire defeated the Egyptian Mamluks, seizing control of Palestine and Jerusalem. 400 years later, during World War I, in 1917, General Allenby and the British Army defeat the Turks and enter the city of Jerusalem. The British government issues the Balfour Declaration, declaring the policy to establish a Jewish homeland in Palestine. In 1947, the United Nations partitions Jerusalem, and the city is divided between Arab and Jewish control. On May 6, 1948, Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion declares Israel an independent state. Israel successfully defends itself against the attack of the Arab League. During the Six-Day War of 1967, Israel captures all of Jerusalem, putting it under Jewish rule for the first time since the Roman destruction in 70 AD. Since 1967, there have been wars and peace treaties between the Arabs and Israelis. And even today, Israel and the Palestinians are negotiating for a more permanent peace arrangement. But one conflict looms large and appears insoluble. Who will politically control Jerusalem? In 1980, Israel declared Jerusalem as its united and eternal capital. The Palestinians also desire Jerusalem as its capital. Faisal Husseini, a representative of the Palestinian Authority in Jerusalem, has stated that Israel, quote, must withdraw from all of East Jerusalem to the pre-67 borders. All settlements in Israeli neighborhoods in East Jerusalem must be dismantled. Israel must compensate the Palestinians for the damages it has inflicted, including the changes in the character of the city and the lives of its citizens. End of quote. If both sides consider their positions non-negotiable, there is an impasse. The Israeli position remains unchanged. That is, they insist that Jerusalem will remain united under sole Israeli sovereignty. As Israeli spokesman Gadi Baltiansky stated, quote, there will be no negotiations over Jerusalem. And if the Palestinians think otherwise, too bad. This is a red line that Prime Minister Barak will never cross. End of quote. How wide is this gap in opposing views toward the political control of Jerusalem? According to an August 1999 poll conducted by a Palestinian media center, quote, 93.7% of Palestinians opposed any solution that keeps Jerusalem as the unified capital of Israel, even if this issue constitutes the final obstacle facing a Palestinian-Israeli peace treaty, end of quote. Yes, the gap between views over the sovereignty of Jerusalem is wide and deep. What does the international community think about this conflict? What is the solution? In 1980, when Israel declared Jerusalem to be Israel's united and eternal capital, the Vatican strongly objected to that declaration. In 1984, Pope John Paul II called for Jerusalem to have, quote, a special internationally guaranteed status, end of quote. The notion of making Jerusalem an international city has existed for decades. As far back as 1947, the United Nations recommended that it be made an international city, but both Israel and Jordan opposed the proposal. My friends, the Bible reveals a shocking turn of events to occur in Jerusalem. Bible prophecy shows that indeed, Jerusalem will eventually be controlled not by the Israelis, but by other governmental powers. Turn in your Bible to the book of Revelation, or Apocalypse. Revelation, the 11th chapter. But first, let me share one more quote from Pope John Paul II. He spoke to the new Jordanian ambassador to the Vatican on May 28, 1998. Quote, the long history of the city of Jerusalem, filled with tribulations, will reach a new threshold in the year 2000, with the dawn of the third millennium of Christianity. It is my fervent hope that this may lead to a formal recognition with international guarantees of the unique and sacred identity of the holy city. End of quote. Will non-Israelis control Jerusalem? Revelation chapter 11. The Apostle John wrote in Revelation 11, verse 1, "Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, 'Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. As you read through the book of Revelation, you see that this period of 3.5 years precedes the return of Christ. And as I pointed out on a previous program in the series, two prophets of God will witness with great power during that same period of 3.5 years. You can read about that in verses 3 through 15 of Revelation, the 11th chapter. These two witnesses will contend with the revived Roman Empire, that superpower which will dominate the Middle East at that time. You need to be watching the Middle East and the trends that will mean major changes in political and religious control over the city of Jerusalem. What events will mark those changes? We'll see what the Bible has to say in the second half of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program. Jerusalem is destined to be the capital of the world, and it's a key to understanding Bible prophecy. This free audio tape will give you the opportunity to study the biblical references and prophetic events we've discussed on this program. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy of Jerusalem in Prophecy. The Bible outlines major prophetic events that will occur in the Middle East, and particularly Jerusalem. So call or write today for your free audio tape, Jerusalem in Prophecy.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In the first part of our program, we saw the glorious prophesied future for the city of Jerusalem. It will be the capital of planet Earth under the rulership of the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. That's good news for all the nations, for you, your children and grandchildren. But peace can only come about in the lives of human beings when their human nature is changed. God will grant the vast majority of all peoples the gift of His Spirit that will enable that miraculous change. Then they shall learn the true way to peace. We previously read the prophecy of Isaiah, the second chapter. Let's continue where we left off, Isaiah 2 and verse 3. "Many people shall come and say, 'Come, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more.'" Jerusalem will not only be the governmental capital of the world, but it will also be the educational capital of the world. The great educator and teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, will teach true knowledge based on the Word of God. All nations will learn the eternal principles, laws, and values that guarantee peace and prosperity to all. We'll be speaking about that educational system in a future program. As Isaiah said, the people will come to the Holy Land and say, "He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." That's the good news of your future and the future of the world. Jerusalem will be the center of world government, education, and religion. The Creator of the universe guarantees that wonderful future. But what will happen in our generation? Will some other superpower control Jerusalem? Yes, it will. We saw that prophesied in Revelation, the 11th chapter. But what events should we look for? What trends should we expect? Many religious groups understand part of Bible prophecy. They expect that the Jewish Orthodox authority in Israel will once again establish temple sacrifices. Will the Jewish priesthood once again offer animal sacrifices? Turn to Daniel, the 12th chapter, Daniel chapter 12. Daniel had been given a revelation, a vision by an angel. When he was asked the meaning of the message, the angel told him in chapter 12, verse 9, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." Over 2,500 years later, we can now understand these prophecies. But notice verse 11. "And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. At the time of the end, shortly before the return of Christ, God reveals the daily sacrifice will be stopped, or taken away. This obviously implies that the sacrifices must be started before they can be stopped. Prophecy indicates that the sacrifices will be reinstituted. The Roman armies destroyed Jerusalem and the Second Temple in 70 AD. The Jews have not offered temple sacrifices since that time. Now, one of the more important questions needs to be asked. Is a temple necessary for the revival of sacrifices? The Babylonian Empire of the 6th century BC conquered the kingdom of Judah. The Babylonians transported thousands of captive Jews to Babylon. The armies of King Nebuchadnezzar also destroyed the first temple at Jerusalem in 586 BC. Eventually, under the Persian Empire, King Cyrus sponsored a group of exiles to return to Jerusalem. When the returning Jews eventually laid the foundation of the second temple, there was both rejoicing and sadness. Joy because they now had a center of worship, and sadness because this second temple was very simple by comparison to the former glorious temple built by King Solomon. But notice the attitude of the Jews. They actually began sacrificing before the foundation of the temple was laid. Ezra 3 and verse 6. "From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, although the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid." Notice another important point. The exiles return where? Ezra refers to the location of the holy place as the house of God when the temple had not yet been built. Ezra 3 and verse 8. "Now in the second month of the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem." This was around 536 BC, but there was no building as yet. The following verses describe the laying of the foundation of the temple. The point is, my friends, that sacrifices must be presented in a holy place. But in this case, the sacrifices were made daily without a physical building called a temple. The returning Jewish exiles referred to the holy place as the house of God, even though no temple existed. The holiest place under the control of the Jewish religious authorities today is the Western Wall, or the Wailing Wall. It is the western retaining wall to the Temple Mount. Jews are not allowed to publicly worship on the Temple Mount, only Muslims. So it remains to be seen where the Jews will begin sacrificing. It will probably take a national crisis to precipitate that event. Remember what we read in Daniel 12 and verse 11? We saw that the daily sacrifices will be stopped or taken away. But what else? Daniel 12, verse 11. "And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up." What is this abomination of desolation? Historically, the Greek ruler Antiochus Epiphanes issued a decree in 167 BC that prohibited sacrifices in the Jerusalem temple. He further set up a statue of Jupiter Olympus in the temple and directed everyone to worship it. This abomination, referred to in Daniel chapters 8 and 11, was a type of an end-time event. Let's read about that in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and verse 15. Matthew 24, verse 15. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Jesus warns us as Christians to be alert to an end-time abomination of desolation. Just as Antiochus Epiphanes profaned the temple in 167 BC and prohibited the sacrifices, so will a future profane authority prohibit sacrifices in the future. In fact, the Apostle Paul warns of a great false prophet that will stand in the holy place. Let's read that in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Yes, there'll be a great false prophet who will work great miracles and deceive millions of people. He'll cultivate worship towards himself and claim he's divine. Notice in Revelation, the 13th chapter, here a symbolic beast is described. It appears like a lamb, the symbol for Christ, but speaks as a dragon, the symbol of Satan the devil. This is the great religious power that guides the end-time resurrected Roman Empire. We've covered that subject in previous programs. Revelation 13, verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do, in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who is wounded by the sword and lived. This Antichrist will even call down fire from heaven. These deceiving miracles will excite millions, but they'll also lead them away from the true Jesus Christ of the Bible. Don't you be deceived, my friends. Be alert. Be on guard. Let's understand one major key of true servants of God. It's in Isaiah, the 8th chapter, verse 20. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. True servants of Christ will speak according to the word of God, the Bible. You need to know your Bible and study your Bible. Prove and test all things, as it tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Jesus revealed there would be an abomination of desolation, and that we should understand. There'll be a great false prophet who will stand in the holy place, in Jerusalem, and the city will be trodden down by the Gentiles for 3.5 years. Jesus spoke of that time when enemy armies would invade the Holy Land and surround the city of Jerusalem. Luke 21 and verse 20. Jesus said, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near." Remember, this is in the context of the Olivet Prophecy, also described in Matthew 24 and Mark 13. A new superpower will invade the Middle East and dominate the region. The prophet Daniel also spoke about this military and political power. Daniel, the 11th chapter and verse 41. Daniel 11, verse 41. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. Yes, there will be international guarantees enforced by a superpower, but it will enforce the pagan, anti-Christian religion of a revived Roman Empire. There will be a revived Pax Romana, or Roman peace, imposed by what the Bible calls the end-time beast power. But after a time, powerful forces east of the Euphrates River will challenge this dominance in the Middle East. This ultimate conflict will lead to the great conflagration at the end, referred to as Armageddon, in the 16th chapter of Revelation. The good news is the returning Jesus Christ will conquer all the rebellious armies and nations of planet Earth. The returning King of Kings will set up his kingdom in Jerusalem and enforce lasting peace. Turn to Zechariah, the 14th chapter, verse 3. Zechariah 14:3. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. Jesus Christ will come back to Jerusalem. He will rule over all the kingdoms, nations, and governments of this earth. Zechariah 14 and verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be. The Lord is one, and His name one. Yes, the Messiah will be king over all the earth and govern from Jerusalem. The word Jerusalem means city of peace. Jerusalem has experienced bloody fighting and wars over the millennia. But soon, this great city will truly be the city of peace for all peoples. That's the good news you can look forward to. On today's program, we've shared with you important prophetic events leading up to the return of Christ. You need to study into it further in your own Bible. And to help you with your study, we'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program. Just call or write for your free copy of Jerusalem in Prophecy. With an audio tape, you can review the biblical references and information we've given you on this program in your own time and at your own leisure. You need to be watching for these prophetic trends and events. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free audio tape, Jerusalem in Prophecy.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
We hope you'll join us every week on Tomorrow's World. The truth of the Bible is vital to your happiness and your future. Dr. Meredith and I will be discussing Bible truths that have been hidden from so many. In fact, Christians take many teachings and traditions for granted without ever proving it in the Bible. Are all Christian customs from the Bible? Or are some traditions and holidays actually based on paganism? We encourage you to have your Bible ready to check up on these questions that Dr. Meredith and I will be answering on Tomorrow's World. So be sure to join us again next week right here at this same time.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579 or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.